Awesome. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, youth. Just in case you guys aren't too sure who this guy is, I'm on the pastoral staff here. I'm the children's and youth guy. So I'm usually hanging out with the little ones and then the kind of little ones. So today I get to talk about forgiveness and reconciliation within community, and it's pulled out of Romans. So I was actually kind of laughing when I saw that this is what I was talking about. As the youth know, this is something that I've been kind of talking about and teaching about for the last couple months, which is community and just how we are tying into that. And then for the last month and a half, I've just been learning about forgiveness, so I thought it tied in really nicely. But first of all, I would like to start off by with the definition. So looking at what forgiveness actually means and what it is, because I think that's a pretty good starting spot. So forgiveness, as according to the dictionary, I'm one of those guys who likes to start off with that, but it means to cease to feel resentment against, or to give up resentment of, or a claim requital. Sorry, those are some bigger words for me. The last one is to grant relief from payment of, or to forgive a debt. Now, I like those. I think it's good, but I think in order to get a deeper understanding of what it is that, Jesus and the apostles were trying to get across to us, we need to look back at, the original text. I like doing that just to give us that deeper understanding so it's a little easier, makes it more clear. And I was a little bit surprised, but I found just in the New Testament, there are four different words that are translated to forgive. Now, one of them is apolluo. Sorry, I'm not too great at Greek, so please forgive me. So it's translated to forgive. It's actually only translated twice into the word forgive. The other ways that it has been translated is to send away or to let go. I believe this is actually the word that is used in the Lord's Prayer. So does everyone know it? Can we all say it together? Our Father, who art in heaven. There it is. All right, so there is what that word is, to send away, to let go of. The next word is aphiemi. It means to take away or to leave from suffering. Moving on down, we've got charizomai. So this one is also translated to show grace or to grant favor or something that is freely given. And the last word that I have in the Greek is ephesis, and it is translated to deliverance, liberty, freedom. So does that kind of help give a picture of what is trying to be passed down to us as the Bible talks about forgiveness? Just like a little nod, a little head shake, anything. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So what I like to look at it as it's me giving something away, it's sending something away from myself. Over this last week and a half, I've been pulling from a lot of different sources just to try and figure out how to define forgiveness. And I was actually listening to some TED Talks, and it was really interesting to see what the worldly view of forgiveness is. And it was actually really cool just watching how these people that were speaking, a lot of the things lined up scripturally with how we are supposed to forgive. But the first part, this one lady was talking about, she said there needs to be an addressing of an offense. So there is something that has happened that offends us on the inside. And so addressing what that is, it might go a lot deeper than just what something has done. The lady was talking about her relationship with a guy. They were together for 4 years. She loved this guy. And then after dating for 4 years, he proposes, and she's like, I can't say yes. I'm really sorry, but I just can't because I know something's wrong. And all these little things that he would do, they weren't even really offensive, but because of things that had happened when she was a child, she took offense to them and was holding those against him. And so she went over this, she went through this trial or this time of looking back into her past and learning to forgive those things. And in doing that, she was able to forgive the guy for all those like little things that she was kind of nitpicking at. Unfortunately, by the time he had found someone else, so she kind of missed out on that opportunity. But it goes so much deeper than just this happened, I'm upset, so I forgive. What it is it's a giving away an offense. It's setting someone free from what they've done to you. So just pulling right from the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Alrighty, so there we go. I hope that definition helps out a little bit. So this next part, just me growing up, I've learned that that forgiveness is a choice. I remember when I was a little kid, I'm remembering this one time in particular. I think I was fighting with my little brother or sister out in the yard, and I got in trouble. I got a little timeout. I had to go sit on the stairs. And then once I had a minute or two to cool off, my mom brought us all in, or my brother or sister. I really don't remember which one. But they, the first thing we had to do every single time was say we're sorry and ask for forgiveness. And then it was kind of forced, but the person who was being hurt had to say, I forgive you. And we weren't allowed to leave until that was done. And so I had started learning that it's something that is done right away. And little thing, if you guys want to learn how to raise a perfect child like myself, my parents are here. You can go and talk to them afterwards. I am just kidding, of course. I was taught that from such an early age. And it's cool, as I grow older and look at the scriptures, there, I see the truth in that. I don't know if it was necessarily taught to me because of what it was said in the scriptures, but we look at it when the disciples are talking to Jesus. And so the disciples, sorry, a little bit of context. The Pharisees in that time, they're kind of like the lawgivers, or not lawgivers, but they're really smart people who really understand the law. And so they're talking, and they're forgiving three things in a day, which I guess is like such a high standard for what was happening. Like, could you guys imagine forgiving someone three times in a day? Like, someone's done something. What? Oh. But it's like, there's so much, like, there's not a whole lot of time in a day that someone can do something really kind of nasty or whatever it is that you need to forgive them three times a day. So they're like, oh, we forgive people three times a day. So then the disciples are like, hey, Jesus, so do we need to forgive like seven times a day? Is that like even much better than the Pharisees and these people? And Jesus is like, well, actually, you know what? You need to forgive 70 times seven times a day. So that's a daily thing. Like, could you imagine? For those of you who aren't the greatest at math, I believe that's 490 times in one day. That's like, I don't know, two times a minute or something. But it's on a daily basis, and it's that choice. Now, what I've become or starting to learn is that it's more than just a choice. That choice is the starting spot, but it leads to so much more. Now, there are times when you get offended, and it's not just, oh, I forgive you and we're good. It's something that takes time and it takes effort on our part. So thinking about this, I'm reminded of a story. You guys okay with me telling a story? Cool. So, youth, I apologize. I don't think you've heard this one yet, but you're going to hear a lot of stories from my time out at Circle Square. I've just spent a lot of time there, so I've got some stories. But while I was there, it was this last summer. I was the program director. I'd been the program director for the last 3 or 4 summers. So I was pretty familiar in what I was doing, but we had a whole new team. I was the only one who had been there for more than 2 years, aside from the directors themselves. And so there was a lot of training and equipping and just holding people to a new standard that they weren't used to. And out of that, the staff kind of needed to learn how to forgive me just because they thought I was coming after them, but I promise I wasn't. But yeah, so as we're going through, there's like all these little things that I'm just keeping in check. You know, this isn't to our cleaning standard. We need to present in such a way. This and this and this. And just like a ton of little corrections that I had to continue to bring on a daily basis. We would, just a little bit of context, we would have different groups come for 1 day or 2 days. So we had, I think, 56 different groups come in a matter of a month and a half. So there was a lot of changeover, a lot of cleaning, and so I was nitpicking all these different things, which I probably should have done a little differently, but it was something that needed to be done to set that standard. But out of this kind of started a bit of unforgiveness, you know, just a little bit of a root here and there, little things starting to build up. So I think it was halfway through June, and we were a little short in the horses department for our staffing. And so I swung down there. I was helping out. And so the kids are walking around our arena in a big old circle. And we're kind of floating, making sure kids are, you know, sitting up straight, holding the reins properly. They're not just goofing off and yelling to their friends. And this one kid just kind of starts yelling, like, ah. So one of our staff, she gets over there before I do, and this kid, while he's like sitting on, it was one of our biggest horses, it was quite round. So what happened is he had a cramp right in his hip, and like on top of a horse isn't the best place to deal with a cramp. And my background growing up in sports, like when you have a cramp, you want to stretch it out, kind of massage it. When you tense it up, it just hurts so much more. And so me coming from that, I had walked over to see what was happening, and this other girl who was working with us, she was coaching him through. She's like, all right, so now what you're going to do is just tense up your hip really tight. And my first instinct is, no, that's going to hurt so much more. And so I asked her, I was like, are you sure this is something that he should be doing? Like, shouldn't he come down, you know, stretch it out? Massage a little bit, deal with it. She's like, no, just stay up there. And I was like, are you, like, really? Are you sure? And so we got into, like, this little discussion. And so a third time, I was like, okay, are you really sure? Like, we shouldn't be doing this. Like, I just know from experience when you have these kinds of things, you got to, like, stretch it out, give it a bit of a massage, wait till it's all better. She's like, okay, whatever, Daniel, you're always right. It's fine. And, like, she did it right in front of one of the chaperones and just kind of blew up at me all sassy. I was like, whoa. Okay, you know what? We're going to have a little chat later. The issue wasn't, like, that she was attacking me. Like, whatever, that's fine. But, like, from the view of someone who's coming and renting our facility, someone that we're presenting ourselves for and trying to serve, like, that's not something that we want to do in front of them. If it's behind the scenes, whatever, we'll deal with it later, but this is like right there, right in front of people that we're trying to serve. And so she just kind of stayed away from me for the rest of that period. And afterwards, once the groups had all gone, it was right before we went for lunch, we talked about it, and she was just offended because she did know a lot more about horses than I did. So she was hired on as one of our year-long horse staff. So she did know more, and you know what? While she while she was coaching the kid to like tense his muscle up and do this certain thing, he said it felt better. And he was all good to go at the end of it. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But a little learning thing for me. But what had happened was afterwards, was she was just so mad at me. She just wasn't able to get past that little thing. And I even like apologized, said, I'm sorry if I offended you. You know what? You're right. You definitely know more about horses. Tried to reconcile things that way. But there just wasn't any reconciliation afterwards. It was just kind of a butting of heads. And afterwards, what had happened was, she was just kind of talking to people behind my back a little bit. And which I didn't really think anything. I was like, okay, that's fine. I'll just keep doing my job, keep loving her as best I can. And so the summer continues to go on, and nothing really comes of it. We just keep working. We worked okay together. We weren't like the best of pals after that. But fast forward, I guess it's been almost a year now. As I'm looking into this, Fred had actually mentioned a video for me to watch. It was Ray Dirksen. So he was talking about forgiveness, and he was talking about how there was this couple in his church that thought that he wasn't actually fit to be a pastor in where he was, and they were like talking to the board about him and that kind of stuff, and they were straight up like, you should not be here. And he was like, okay, well, I'm sorry you feel that way, but life goes on. And he just wanted to keep going and like not have to do anything, not really address it, be like, I'm sorry you feel that way, let bygones be bygones. But what God had done was he talked to him and he was like, you know what, you need to take these active steps. Whenever you think of them, I want you to pray for them. Whenever you think of them, I want you to bless them. Whenever you see them, I want you to go and say hi. When you see them on Sunday mornings, I want you to ignore everyone else and go and greet them. And so he's like, well, do I have to? I'm like, how many of you, just raise of hands, how many of you would not want to do that? I'll be honest, I wouldn't want to. And so he was faithful. At first, he was saying, like, oh, shoot, thinking of them. Oh, God, would you bless them? Let them have a great day. And then on the Sunday morning following, he just kind of moped on over, shook their hands, good morning, nice to see you, and just kept back on his way. But what he said is over time, it started to change. His view of those people, he started to really have a heart for them. He started to love them. He started to look forward. He was more joyful. He was like, you know what, Lord, bless them. I hope they have a great day. Father, would you keep them safe? Would you bless their kids? And continued, and it became something that he was passionate about. And on the Sunday mornings, he looked forward to going and greeting those people. And through that, they became friends. And he's kind of sad when he doesn't get to see them on a Sunday morning. And you know what? We see this in Romans 12, 20. If you want, you can turn there. I'll just give you Daniel's paraphrased version. What it says is you should love your enemies. You should give them food. You should give them water. And in doing so, you will heap burning coals on their head. Now, at first, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I'm going to give you a little history lesson. If you already know this, I apologize. But for those of you who don't, maybe you'll learn a little something this morning. What would happen is back in the day, fire was one of the most essential things to life. It heated your house, it helped cook your food, boiled water, everything else. So if you let your fire go out, that was a huge deal. And so what would happen is if your fire went out, you would go over to a friend's house, knock on their door, say, hey, can I have a couple coals so that I can get my fire going again? Like, this is a big issue. I really need this help to survive. And so you would go to your good friends, like your really, really good friends, in order to get these coals to help you be able to live. And where they would carry them is they would have this bowl. I can't remember if it was metal or pottery or what it was, but they would put the bowl on top of their head to carry it back to their house. And so when you feed and give water and essentially just love on those who hate you, to your enemies, you're going to be turning them into some of your best friends. And I think a big part, or the first step, is forgiveness. So when someone comes and offends you, when someone does something to hurt you, you're to forgive them of that. You're supposed to set them free. Jesus is our example, is that right? Okay, I'm glad we're in agreement. So Jesus is our example in how we are to live. And he says that we need to forgive 70 times 7 a day. Now, Jesus did something incredible for us. He died so that we might be forgiven. He paid the ultimate price so that we could be forgiven, so that we don't have to die when we die. So that when we die, we can go to heaven and live with him. We can be with him forever. And because he's done that, it gives us the grace and the empowerment to forgive others. The word says that if we don't forgive others, so if we still hold on to an offense and say, you're not worthy because you did this, it says that my Father will hold you to the same account. We are given grace when we forgive. So it's something that is so important, something that is so powerful in forgiving others. We actually bring freedom to ourselves. God forgives us because we forgive others, right? Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses, and it's as we forgive those. It's not because we forgive those, but it's as we forgive those who trespass against us, then we are forgiven. Oh, my notes are kind of all over the place. So now, moving on, we've got the great part of community. I love how community ties into so much of what the church does and what the church is. So youth, again, I apologize. I've been harping on this forever. But how community is brought into this is that we need to be able to hold each other accountable. If you see that someone has been offended and they're not letting go of it, you need to have people in your life who are okay with coming and being like, hey, you know what, you need to forgive that person. Let's walk through this together. You need to have someone that has the sit down and shut up card. I was listening to this guy, his name's Mike Todd, very vibrant and he's really easy to listen to. But he was talking about community and how you need to have people in your life who have that sit down and shut up card. People who you're not going to be offended with, your relationship's not going to change if they come and confront you about the hard things. Now, if you look at pretty much the second half of Romans from, I believe it's 11 to 16, so much of it is covered in the body being a community, how we are one, how we need to work together and help each other out. If you look at Romans, or here's just a couple, I'm going to throw them out real fast so you might not have an opportunity to look them up, so I apologize for that. But we've got Romans 11, 17 to 18. It's talking about how we are all branches, and some of us get grafted in to being the branches, but we're not supplied by the branches. We're supplied by the root that gives us life, and that root is God. Jumping over to Romans 12, 5, it talks about how we are all one body, and we are not to... Actually, you know what? Let's go to that one. Romans 12, 5. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one under the seat in front of you. Romans 12, 5. All right, actually, I'm going to jump to 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. So we are all connected. We are all one because we are children and heirs to Christ. If you look through Romans 8, it totally covers our sonship, our daughtership, that because we are adopted into his family. But here it talks about how we are one body, and now we have different functions. And something that oftentimes happens in the church is you see someone doing something that's a little different, something you might not agree at, so we can take offense to it. But it might be a foot saying, hey, hand, what the heck are you doing? Or, you know, a piece of hair saying, I want to be a knee. Whatever it may be, it could start planting that little bit of offense. And so it takes that daily forgiveness, that daily choice to set someone free, to not hold them accountable to what it is. And in doing so, it starts to bring reconciliation. So forgiveness leads to reconciliation, which is done best in community. Is that okay, church? Now, one thing that I just kind of had like an aha moment is it that if we as a church learn to forgive, I think the church could totally change their outer community. Our whole church and the way we do things itself would start to change because we're not holding people accountable anymore. We're setting them free from what it is that we've done. So again, I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but I just want to walk through this. First, there's an addressing of offense. So what's been done wrong to me? Figuring out really what it is. What is it that's bugging me? All right, I want everyone just to take a minute. Think about it. Is there someone who just kind of grinds your gears? Whenever you think of them, you just kind of, you know, you just kind of shudder. You know what? This is actually, even it's just like, oh, I don't want to be with that person. I don't like the way they do things. You know what? That's the start of an offense. And so the next step, for those of you who are step people, address offense. Number two, forgive. Step number three, forgive again. Step number four, forgive again. 490 times. In a day. So I'm not going to lie, if you're doing that all in a day, that'll take up most of your day. But but it is something that is done over time. I'm not saying that you just forgive and it's a one-time thing. You might need to forgive again and again. So it's that choice, but it's an initial choice that leads to a process of doing it again and again. And in doing so, you bring that reconciliation between you and that person. And once you and that person have reconciled again, you can be in community. Now, that doesn't mean that you trust this person the same way you trusted them before. I think it means you trust them enough that you can be in the same community and there's nothing being held on there anymore. But so say just for an example, you've got someone who's really close. You tell them, I'm going to go like all little kid because that's my area of expertise. So say me and Dylan, we're super close. I'm like, hey, Dylan, I got this big old crush on this girl. And he's like, okay, who is it? So I tell him, and then you know what? He goes and blabs. When you're in elementary school or like high school, that's like crushing. It's devastating. Working through that process, I might still let Dylan be one of my good buds. Maybe not. We'll see how things go. But as I forgive him and looking down the road, maybe for the next couple of years, I'm just not going to trust him with who I like anymore. Maybe I'll just keep that to myself and not let that devastating blow come and hit me again. But over time, if it's something that we both want, we can both get back to that place where we trust each other enough. Does that make sense? Yeah. So forgiveness does not equal complete trust yet again. Again, the word says, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So you need to be careful about those who are within your close-knit community, which I need to be careful or else it'll take probably another hour doing that. So just a minute ago, I got you guys to think about what it is, or sorry, certain people who just kind of grind your gears, people who make you shudder. I want you to picture their face right now. If you're having a hard time, I'm going to give you a minute. But what I want to do right now is just a little bit of an exercise. I want to start this forgiveness. Start with the choice to forgive this person. Now, I don't want it just to be a in-your-heart kind of thing. I want people to actually say it. So take time. Figure out what it is and say, I forgive them for this. Now, this is going to start your journey to total reconciliation, this journey of total forgiveness for this person. So I just want to give you guys a minute. Worship team, if you want to start coming.
Oh, Daniel, thank you so much. Thank you for being willing to set the time aside and to pray for this body and to seek God's understanding of a truth that is absolutely critical for us, and to bring and share your personal stories and to bring that together for us. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you. Yeah. This is an area, body, well, you guys are young, lots of energy, you can stay standing. Anybody else, you can sit down if you want. I'm going to close the service today. Victoria, have you got the scripture I asked for? Thanks. Yeah. So, this is a critical area as a body of believers for us to really get right. This is the beginning of softening our hearts and preparing ourselves to be God's character in the world. There was a video that Daniel referred to, and when Ray was asking about teach me how to forgive when I'm struggling so much, this is the scripture that was given to him, and it's been given to each and every one of us, and it's pretty simple. There's been lots of people come through my office in the last couple of months, and we go to this scripture again and again and again, because when we become offended, the responsibility is on us to shed the offense. Our responsibility is to forgive. You know what? 90% of the time, we don't even need to tell the people we're forgiving them. It's the hardness in our heart that we need cleaned up. And so the scripture is from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and 28. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. When this says, bless those who curse you, sometimes we think that means I'm just going to pray a blessing upon that person. You know what? We are called to do good in this world. If there's somebody who has offended you and you are trying to forgive them, pray to God that He would tell you how you can be a blessing in their life. What could I actually do that would make a difference in that person's life? Not just prayer. Prayer is a great beginning and a great end. But in the middle, people need help. Find out, God, what is it that I can do to help that person? This is how we begin to change the outer courtyard. This is how we begin to be the people who make a difference in the world. This is how you live out a great week as a person of Christ, as the character of God in this community, instead of just here on a Sunday morning. It's been great to get together with you and to worship, but you know what? We're called to get out there and make a difference in this world and reveal the character of Christ in a world that needs it so desperately right now. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you for setting that up. Now it's our turn to hit the ball out of the park and go work on it. Let me pray for you. God bless the saints of celebration with an understanding of your scripture and your desire to share your grace and forgiveness, your humility with us, that we might go and we might show it and share it with others. Heavenly Father, for those who have offended us, Father, give us the capacity to shed the offense and to forgive the true way that you've asked us to forgive, in power and in strength and in action. Amen. Have a great week, everybody. Stay as long as you want to say hi to a friend. This is a great community. We